Maundy Thursday isn't just any other Thursday. This is an important time of remembrance, focused on the evening before Good Friday. Today is a historical day of observance that can challenge us, but can also pull us closer to Jesus and what it means to follow him. Welcome to Mountain View Church. If we've never met, I'm Pastor Jeremy, and I'm so thankful that you're joining us for Maundy Thursday. It's a big deal. It's a big deal that you're here, especially today as we pause to remember a few of the most important moments of the Holy Week journey. If this is your first time watching with us, or maybe you've been tuning in for a while and you're ready to connect with our community, here's the first step to getting involved. Visit mountainview.church/connect and complete the connection form or text connect to 867-322-8001. Feel free to pause the video to catch that web address and number again. A final note for those of you with children. Pastor Herber, who oversees our Basecamp Children's Program, has uploaded a Maundy Thursday video for kids at mountainview.church/basecamp. As we move into our Maundy Thursday teaching time, I'd encourage you to let your guard down a bit. As we journey through a series of passages about covenant, humility, and love, be aware of what God might be trying to reveal to you. Let's get started. Today, I want to talk to you about an event in the Christian calendar that doesn't always get the attention it deserves. Maundy Thursday is a day that holds deep historical significance within the Christian faith, marking the Thursday before Easter Sunday and Christ's resurrection. It commemorates the events that took place before Good Friday and Christ's trial and crucifixion. But have you ever paused to consider the word Maundy itself? What is it? It's derived from the Middle English Maundy, taken from the Old French Maundy, which can be traced back to the Latin word mandatum, which means commandment. To expand further, the word carries a charge, an order, command, commission, an injunction. The past participle, to commit to one's charge, order, command, commission, literally to put into one's hands. This term, rich in history, points us to Jesus' new commandment to love one another as he has loved us, spoken during the Last Supper, cited in John 13. Maundy Thursday beckons us to remember not just the love demonstrated by Jesus, but also the command to replicate this love in our own lives. This is the second message in our Holy Week series, inviting you to journey with us as we walk through the events leading up to the resurrection of Christ. If you missed the first message on Palm Sunday, I would strongly suggest that you pause this message and go back and watch it first. But if you've already caught up, let's move on. I hope you're able to gather with family and friends as you watch this message, mainly because Maundy Thursday is a participatory, communal time of remembrance. That being said, if you're alone and online, I'm glad you're here. Perhaps you can say hello in the comments and introduce yourself to others that might be participating online with you. There are five specific events outlined in the gospel accounts that relate to and are remembered as part of a Maundy Thursday gathering. Over the next 20 minutes, we're going to walk through these events as explained in the gospel accounts. Then outline how these events have been observed in history and how they continue to be observed in modern Christianity. We begin first with Jesus' final Passover meal. Maundy Thursday brings us back to that intimate setting where Jesus shared his final Passover meal with his disciples, an event recorded by Luke in chapter 22, which reads, "And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." This moment was more than a meal. It was a covenant gathering that had been celebrated for centuries among God's people. However, Jesus was about to transform this Old Testament tradition. Historically, Christians have observed this day in a variety of ways, all with the emphasis on a shared meal. Some have strived to eat the same foods as Jesus and the disciples, using unleavened bread, bitter herbs, and wine, while others have put together a common shared meal that is typical of that family or community, adding some bread or crackers and grape juice. Regardless of the type of meal that is shared, the purpose is a time of unified remembrance. Today, in your homes, you have the freedom to reflect and participate in the Last Supper meal in a way that resonates with your family, with your community. Next, we highlight Jesus' humble act of foot washing. One of the most unique events remembered during Maundy Thursday is Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, an act recorded in John's Gospel in chapter 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Then, a little further down, we read this. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." This moment is a vivid illustration of servanthood and love. While foot washing may seem foreign or uncomfortable in our culture, it has a long-standing historical significance within Christianity and remains a very powerful symbol of humility. A wide variety of Christian traditions and denominations continue the practice of foot washing, each adapting to reflect their preferred process. Although the core message, the love, humility, and service of Christ, remains at the forefront. Next, let's focus on Jesus' institution of communion. During the Last Supper, Jesus transformed the Passover meal into a new covenant observance, asking his disciples to remember him through the taking of the bread and the cup. Luke's account in chapter 22 captures this moment. "And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" Jesus was pointing toward what would happen the very next day, his death on the cross, bringing about atonement and forgiveness of sins. What Jesus instituted in that moment would be practiced by Christ followers for the next 2,000 years. The taking of the bread and the cup, sometimes referred to as the sacrament of Holy Communion, sometimes referred to as the Eucharist, but standard practice and often a mandated ordinance for the churches in every tradition, in every denomination, network, or fellowship. It's something that unites us. Communion is often a central aspect of Christian worship, whether facilitated in homes or on hillsides, from chapels to cathedrals. Communion stands as an important remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross. Following today's message, I'll be leading you through communion via video. You and your group are welcome to follow along with me at that time or facilitate the bread and the cup in your own way, in your own time, however you want to do it. But before we get there, I want to highlight two more components of remembrance related to Maundy Thursday that we can't forget about. We now move to Jesus' prayer of sorrow. You see, after the meal, Jesus retreated to the Garden of Gethsemane in deep sorrow and earnest prayer. Matthew recounts Jesus' anguish in chapter 28 of his gospel. We read, "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And taking with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little further away, on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Here we find Jesus in a moment of raw human emotion, fully understanding the weight of what was to come, yet submitting to the Father's will and embracing the role he must play to rescue us. Then, not long after the prayers in Gethsemane, we enter Jesus' betrayal and arrest. This is a stark contrast as the tranquility of the garden is shattered by the betrayal of Judas. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, describes this moment where Judas led the authorities to Jesus, marking the beginning of the end of his earthly ministry. We read, And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard. And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, Rabbi, and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. This act of betrayal underscores the depth of Jesus' sacrifice, willingly entering into suffering for our sake. Although he was perfect, he was led away into the night like a criminal to face trial and execution the following day. As we think of these last events, the prayers of sorrow, the betrayal, the arrest, how do we practice this? How do we remember this? What action or observance are you and I to take part in as a small group or family, as part of Maundy Thursday? Our response is actually simple, yet powerful. We pause and pray. I would suggest to you that after the shared meal, the washing of feet, and the taking of the bread and the cup, we take an extended time of prayer, remembering the garden, remembering the betrayal, remembering his arrest, all of which prepares our hearts for tomorrow as we enter Good Friday and we center in tomorrow on Christ's crucifixion. After exploring each of these events, I hope you can see why it's too much to condense into a Good Friday gathering. It might be convenient, I get it, but I think we lose something. We lose something by not purposefully reflecting on the day before the crucifixion. These accounts provide evidence of why Maundy Thursday has historically been a distinct event of remembrance during Holy Week. But the question now remains for you and for I, how will we observe Maundy Thursday? How will you observe Maundy Thursday? Will you embrace the shared meal with friends and family? Will you engage in the humble act of foot washing? Will you enter into the remembrance of communion, whether in the shared meal or privately through a digital connection with others through this video? Will you spend some time in prayerful preparation for the events to come? Each of these practices draws us closer to the heart of Jesus and his commandment outlined in John's gospel. He said, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. As you gather together today, consider embracing at least a couple of these traditions. If you've got the time and your group is willing, try one of the less practiced components, maybe even the uncomfortable ones. Allow each of these Maundy Thursday remembrances to enrich your faith as you journey through the rest of Holy Week. Let's pray, reflecting on what we've learned today and preparing our hearts and minds to take communion together. Dear Father, I thank you for Maundy Thursday. In many Western church structures and especially in a huge component of evangelicalism, we've kind of moved aside from it somewhere along the line. And we remember these things, but often as part of Good Friday, even though they happened the day before, the evening before mostly. Father, I thank you for the Christian history that we have and the access to this history, and that we can go back in time and have these moments where we can bring things back and think of them more deeply. Father, I pray for everyone who's listening right now and watching, that you might stir inside of them and bring them back to the table, bring them back to the garden, perhaps. And then they might, in their mind's eye, see that moment as one of the disciples, and that Maundy Thursday might have a true significance for them. Help us remember well. And as we move to communion, we ask your blessing on it. And for those that are maybe going to stop the video and to do some of these remembrances on their own, I pray that you bless them, and that today is meaningful, and they have a great and powerful and prayerful Maundy Thursday. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to be using the communion account found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verses 26 to 29, if you'd like to follow along. I'll be praying for each element, then reading the passage, and then we'll take each element afterwards, the bread first, and then the cup, and then I'll close in a prayer. Let's pray for the bread. Dear Father, thank you for this bread that symbolizes the body of your Son, Jesus, who went to the cross willingly as part of your plan to rescue us, to save humanity from the lostness and darkness of sin. Jesus, I thank you for, although you were sorrowful in the garden, and the weight of this punishment was upon you, you willingly walked forward. Willingly, under your Father's will. I thank you that you loved us enough that you went to the cross, and that you allowed your body to be beaten, placed on a cross, taking the payment and the punishment for our sin. As we take this bread, we remember you, we remember your body. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Matthew 26, verse 26. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Dear Father, we now move to the cup, which represents the blood, the atoning blood of your Son, Jesus. We know that the remission of sins cannot be had without the shedding of blood. That's something that's been set up, was set up and was good, and there were sacrifices for many years. But in your loving kindness, you put forward a final sacrifice, your Son, fully God and yet fully man and perfect, the final perfect sacrifice to atone for the sins of the world. Jesus, we look at the red color of this cup, and we realize that it represents your blood that was shed at the cross, the thorns in your brow, the nails in your hands and feet, and the blood flowing from your side, the atoning blood shed for the sins of the world. We thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray and remember. Amen. Matthew 26, verse 27. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Dear Father, we thank you for this time of communion. We thank you for this time of remembrance. Again, I pray a blessing on all those gathering in homes. And however they're remembering Maundy Thursday, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that it would be a special time for them. And that your Spirit would guide them in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining Mountain View Church in this time of reflection and remembrance. If you have questions or you want to connect further with our community, please don't hesitate to reach out. I would invite you to join us again online or in person for our Good Friday gathering at 6 p.m. For those attending in person, we'll have children's programs available for infants, toddlers, and preschoolers. The elementary kids will join the teens and adults in the main gathering. With that in mind, parents and guardians should prepare their children for the sensitive nature of Good Friday's message. Although the sermon content will be prepared with the understanding that children will be in the congregation, discussing Christ's death with our kids is an important part of their discipleship journey. For those families that are choosing to participate online and at home through video for Good Friday, there will be an additional children's lesson uploaded at mountainview.church under the Basecamp, the Children's Ministry section, that you can download and watch with your kids, something a little bit more appropriate, age appropriate for them. And of course, we eagerly anticipate the remembrance of Christ's resurrection on Easter Sunday. We are going to celebrate. We'll have a full children's program for all ages. There'll be music and refreshments, and I've prepared a special Easter message. The best part is that we will offer baptisms for those who've given their lives to Jesus and want to publicly declare their faith to the world. It's going to be amazing, and I hope to see you there.